never rests.
Good Sunday evening out there to everybody. For the show, I'm Jake Rose, Rusty Mansell. This is always and forever Dogs HQ on this channel. And Rusty, man, the first round of the college football playoff is in the books. That first round of home games, and can't wait to talk about it. More portal talk, because that's all that's going on here with Georgia. Rest in peace, Ricky Henderson, too, by the way. Somebody just tweeted me. Somebody just texted me, a friend of mine just texted me a Ricky Henderson video. It popped up on my screen, and gonna miss him. And then also we're gonna talk about Georgia's matchup with Notre Dame in the Sugar Bowl. But Rusty, first round of the college football playoff is in the books, right? And I was so excited, and I was let down by the quality of games we got. But the best thing I saw all weekend may be the worst thing I saw all weekend. I'll get to that in a second, but what did you think kind of about that whole, the way it went down?
I'm so pumped about having college football in this scenario. I still think, you know, a lot of talk today about 12 is too many. I still think 12 is right. I think they got to seed these things. I think they got to do some stuff with it. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's just a lot of different, but, you know, two teams that got to buy. Arizona State and Boise State are double digit underdogs in the quarterfinals. I mean, that's not how this thing should work out. And those teams deserve to be in the 12 team. I think so, but you got to seed these things to make it right. And people are kind of just all pissed off about it. I mean, let's see how it was going to play out and let's fix this thing. And I think they will, but I'm still cool with 12, but they just have to seed it, man. I mean, it just, the matchups they've got are not helping things. And, you know, you got to put more into strength of schedule, I think. And that's subjective. But I think seeding this thing will make this particular first round weekend a lot better product. Because what I hate for college football is, you know, in the South, we're going to watch it no matter what. I watch Tuesday night freaking Jack State, you know, Middle Tennessee State, and like my kids playing. I mean, I love it. So, but for people around the country that, you know, we're trying to expand this game, let's make it better for everybody to watch it. And I think they can do that by seeding those 12 and getting more competitive first round games.
I think that would help for sure. What we saw this year, and I saw from the very first thing, media loves to do this. And I'm not going to say we love to do this because I really do my best not to. Mm-hmm. And you do too. I feel like you're pretty good at that too. Everybody got swept up in that first Notre Dame moment. Oh my God, why we've ever done this any other way is beyond me. Look at all this energy. And I agree, it was amazing. At Ohio State, at Texas, at Notre Dame. I mean, what iconic venues, Penn State, to kick this thing off. Mm-hmm. What we ran into though, Rusty, first time we've ever seen a college football home crowd of that magnitude. First time we've seen anything in a win or go home scenario. We've never seen anything like that with that on the line. And I tell you what, every single football team that played got overwhelmed by the home crowd at one point or another on Saturday. So it's almost like, hey, we came into this loving it, but I almost think that at least that initial burst, I don't know, maybe everybody will get used to it at some point. It's just different in the NFL. It's different in the NFL. It's different. It's hard enough to win on the road in the NFL in the regular season, playoff, whatever. It's even harder in college. And I just feel like that was some – I didn't go into that thinking at all that this may be like a – maybe too big of an advantage, it felt like, because everybody got rattled, dude. Everybody got rattled. To the point that I felt like it played a major impact in all four of those games being blowouts. Maybe with the lone exception of the Tennessee Ohio State game, simply because Ohio State just seemed to outclass them from the jump, and Tennessee lost their best player in the first quarter.
I think every game the better team won. And that's just that just and it just so happened to be at home. You know, this is not a Tennessee show, but you and I both agree the weaknesses that Tennessee has shown on the road and what has been successful against that offense is what Ohio State did. And that's a, you know, I don't want to get into too much, but just one of those deals. And I think the better team won each of those four games, and it just happened to be hosted.
Oh, man, Tennessee's like that dude at the party. They said the police come and show up and they pull him out and he's just too drunk to say anything. He got no answers. Tennessee has no answers against offensively whenever a team kind of gets on them and figures them out. And that's what you got to live with Josh Heupel. He's done a fantastic job building them. The fact that they're in a playoff right now with the mess they were in 3 or 4 years ago is absolutely incredible. So I think he's done a fantastic job, but hey, He's got to figure out a way to build a team that can kind of figure out a way to get the thing going back right when it starts going wrong.
If you're $8 million, and that's the rumor, I have no idea. If you're $8 million into that quarterback, he's got to start winning games. And it's not all on him at all. But you pay $8 million, you want to be playing in January, is my opinion. So we'll see how all that goes, but yeah, I think
the better thing about it. The thing about it is beautiful about college football, and I never can get you to engage with me on something like this. Mm-hmm. But the thing about college football is you got Ohio State fans out there just veins popping out of their neck and their forearms and everything else, just with Ohio State Ryan Day tattoos all over the place. They're ready to run him off the other day. And you've got people watching Ohio State after that one game and what they did against Tennessee, and they're saying, this is what you do. This is how you go out and you spend this in the portal, and this is what you spend it on. And I get it, but that's the same team that just couldn't score anything on a bad Michigan team and wanted to fire its coach. So everybody kind of has to deal with what they've got. You got to take yours and beat theirs. And – you know, there's so many different ways to skin this cat, and you know, Ohio State took it to them. But I just feel like we've got 10 days to react to everything we saw, and it's going to be overreaction central. We're already seeing a little bit with Georgia Notre Dame. We're going to get to that matchup here in a little bit. But I tell you what, man, I did not expect the Dogs not to have a chance. I really didn't. But there's some talk out there.
Oh, boy. So, I mean, I'm surprised as to my Notre Dame is a damn good football team. Yeah. They really are a really good football team. But boy, people jumped on that bandwagon real quick early last week. And I think to not take up for somebody, people automatically think that Gunnar Stockton is going to be a big drop off. Very well could be, but it's a different style of package he's going to bring to the team. We know more about Gunnar Stockton than your normal national media. They saw one half of him. He had some good points. He had some points that weren't great, an interception. We should have threw it away. Could have cost him. But I say this, like I've said last week, Georgia had 18 minutes to get Gunnar Stockton's mind ready to play in the SEC championship. He walked in at halftime, and 2 minutes into halftime, they told him, you're starting the second half. So they have 2.5 weeks.
By the way, they also had 18 minutes to do that, and then they ran 10 plays for 75 yards and a touchdown
right off the bat. So I you know, we're gonna see about Gunnar Stockton. Everybody asked me about Gunnar Stockton. I have zero issues with his arm strength. I have watched him play many times. He's taller than Stetson Bennett. Does he see the middle of the field like Stetson Bennett? At times he didn't in the SEC championship, but we will see. Again, you know, he had one sample size. So what did they do with him? He does bring a different package to it. Obviously, there was some energy when he came in the game. So, you know, I think from a national media narrative, they're thinking, oh, boy, Georgia's in trouble. And I'll be honest with you. I've said this, and I'm not backing off that comment. I'm not sure Georgia wins the SEC championship with Carson Beck that particular day because they didn't have anything going. They really didn't have an answer. And Gunnar kind of gave them that spark. We've seen that before.
They didn't start catching the football. You know, I mean, they weren't going to win anything if they didn't start catching the football. And I guess in some ways you could say they did catch some of what Gunnar threw at him, but Gunnar brought a different element, a different way to gain yardage and pick up, move those sticks in there. So I see what you're saying there. But at the same time, and I brought it up before too, they responded to second half all year. So it's kind of tough to know
It is.
But we are where we are right now, which is Carson Beck's not playing in the Sugar Bowl. Carson Beck's probably done for the playoffs. We've been reporting that for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
And but Rusty, I look at it like this, man. Notre Dame is a great football team, and there are a lot of good football teams in this playoff, and there are a lot of them that got left out. Alabama, Ole Miss, South Carolina, Miami, all good football teams. I know that the fans out there, and I don't know whether it's because we have to put our real names on it and they don't, but there are also some media out there that'll sit there and say, well, this team sucks and that team sucks. I think there are 20 to 22 really good football teams that can probably rise. There's one that can definitely rise up and beat Georgia out there that's not in the top 25, and that's Tech. Okay, so there are a lot of good teams that are capable of beating Georgia, but – you know, I look at that game and I look at the matchups and I saw Notre Dame play Indiana and all that. You know, listen, I think Georgia's got a cool draw here. I would rather have Georgia's draw right now than I'd rather have than Oregon's. That's for sure.
You know what Notre Dame kind of reminds me of is the teams that Alabama had before they went to the spread offenses and all that. They want to play great defense. They want to run the football and they want to make you make a mistake. That's what, to me, they look like.
That dude behind center is responsible for probably what they really want from him is they want about 6 to 10 plays a game on third down, second and long and third down whenever they need to move them sticks. And they need him to deliver the ball efficiently. They need to maybe run, take off with it a few times, even though he's capable of doing more than that. But that's all they're asking him to do. And whatever he gives them on top of that, they're built to make that kind of the cherry on top.
Yeah, it goes through him. And he's kind of a, I hate to use the word, but, you know, he's a really good player, I think. But I think he's more of a game manager type. You know, I saw the comparison to Haynes King. And I think he throws the ball a little more efficient than Haynes King. But he don't run it like Haynes King. He wants to run it, and he will run it. But Haynes King will run your ass over. And ask the Georgia defense about that. So that's a little different element to what Haynes King does. This guy's not a statue, but I do think Georgia can get to him some. But they want to play defense. They want to run the football, and they want to make you make a mistake. And that's what they want to do. People are going to jump to conclusions, but they're really good defensively. Now, up front, they got some size. I thought their linebackers were a little better than I thought, especially – their DBs, they do start a true freshman there. So it'd be interesting to see what Georgia does there with a true freshman corner. So, you know, I think that I like the early matchup. I just think that Georgia against teams like this have been pretty successful. I think you've got to have, if you go back and you look, the teams that have beat Georgia, and I would say 90% of the games the last 5 years, it doesn't take an overall season, but it takes, I would consider, elite quarterback play that day. And, you know, Ole Miss would be kind of the – Ole Miss got after Georgia so hard defensively. I mean, they were on Georgia so quick. And then, you know, Jackson Dart had a couple of plays there. You know, he came out, their backup quarterback led them right down the field on Georgia's defense. Yeah. So, but you go back and you look at the games that Georgia has lost, SEC championship, Bryce Young played good. Jalen Milroe played out of his mind against Georgia last year. You know, Joe Burrow played out of his mind. Those games have been, I would say, really high-level quarterback play. And, you know, being able to move around the pocket is what has beat Georgia. So, you know, a team that, you know, is going to come downhill on you, a team that wants to dink and dunk, I think, and be really efficient, Those haven't fared well against Georgia. Doesn't mean Notre Dame can't, but I'll take my odds back on Georgia against this type of offense. I don't think Notre Dame's really explosive at wide receiver. I think they got some big body guys, but I'm not sure that they're going to go over top on you. And Georgia should be. I really like the matchup of Georgia's DBs against these wide receivers.
Hey, we're getting into more of that here in just a little bit. More probably towards the end of the show, Rusty. Because I got some thoughts on that, too. I think all of that stuff you just said is real valid. But if you're trying to go to that game, you got to go through Game Time. GameTime.co, yes. The most intuitive, the easiest app out there to use. Tons of Sugar Bowl tickets out there. $300-$400 is pretty much the norm. But listen, if you want to set up there close to us in that Sugar Bowl press box, I guarantee it won't be as cold as it is in the Sugar Bowl press box. But you can find some tickets in the hundreds. But listen, they're limited in terms of just getting in the building there. And hey, listen, the Sugar Bowl is a wonderful venue. It's awesome. We can't wait to get down there to New Orleans. Use the code ON3 and you'll get $20 off your first order. Terms apply. I believe it has to be over $100 or over a certain amount, but you won't have any trouble doing that if you want to go to the Sugar Bowl. But listen, last minute ticket deals, GameTime.co's got you covered. Download the app, use the code ON3, get $20 off your first order. The thing I love about GameTime, Rusty, is you can toggle back and forth between the tickets right here, or you can see the actual out-the-door price in terms of the fees and everything like that. So you can look at them one by one and kind of figure that out and know when you're looking at the screen just like it is right there that you're getting out of there. That's the price you're going to have to pay in the end. So going over to GameTime.co, they're our friends. Need to make them yours too. Rusty, before we get into the Georgia-Notre Dame matchup, we just get into some portal talk here because it's not closed. The dead period is upon us here in a few hours. So there won't be any more visits going on, but that doesn't mean guys can't commit. That doesn't mean guys can't be recruited. Heck, you can recruit anybody that's in the transfer portal as long as they get in the transfer portal during the window. So this thing's going to drag out a little bit longer. I'm not sure how much longer the main targets for Georgia are going to last. It doesn't seem like there's a set timeline there.
The portal is open 5 days past your bowl game. So Tennessee, for example, those players have 5 days now extension past whatever their date is. It's open till the 28th. I think it's 28th. And if you play past that, you get 5 days, I believe is the rule on that, or 5 days past your bowl game if it's not open, if it's closed. So Georgia, if they were to lose Notre Dame, they would have 5 days past the first for anybody to leave to get into the portal. So all that stuff is, we'll see what happens. I know there's been a lot of people complain, people that are on the playing in the national championship. If you think about it, if you're in January 20th, 95% of the schools in America have started. So, yeah. What are you going to do there? Which is a damn mess, yeah, but
you've got to have already done your portal work before you got there, because either that, or you're just ready to go do some Ben Jurasic type stuff and take a guy when he's ready to enroll at the end of spring or something like that, because it doesn't really impact you as a school in terms of what you can do until classes start. And if you get knocked out on January 1st, all that means is until January 6th, those players can get in the portal. It doesn't restrict your ability to recruit anybody out of the portal or anything like that. You can still get them in before classes start. All of that works out well. But you're right. I mean, if you send a bunch of dudes out the door, and listen, I think we're seeing some guys make tough decisions early this year because of that. I think some of them, Georgia's had about seven guys, I think it is. Bo Pribula is headed to Missouri. That broke just a few minutes ago. He's headed to Missouri after leaving Penn State when he was getting snaps at Penn State. And I feel bad for that kid because I read that statement and you could tell that he did not want to, but he's got to look out for his own future. Like, there's just nobody would ask him to do anything different. So he's got people in a bind, and I'm not even sure how they fix it. I'm not even going to beat up on them because I'm not sure how it's easily fixed. It's a mess. It really is. And again, I don't know how you fix it, but that's just kind of where we are. And Rusty, I'm going to ask you a true or false question here. When it comes to Georgia transfer portal recruiting, we've kind of centered in on three names. It's the Branch brothers and Dane Key. I'm not saying that's it. I'm not saying that's the only thing Georgia's got going. But in terms of the right here and now, we're watching the news. Would you say those are really just the three we're watching right now in terms of immediate possible something happening here in the next week or so?
And it's hard to say, Jake. They don't have to make their – if you think about it, if those kids are picking Georgia, when's class start? January 10th, 11th, something like that?
Yeah.
So, they would have till the end. Like, if you – that's how, you're asking me if I want to be watching this week. I don't know. Do those three have committable offers? Yes, those three have committable offers. I don't think these kids are going to drag this thing out too far, but they very well could. Because if I say, hey, these kids are going to sign soon, they don't have to. I mean, this is different. There's not a national signing day coming up for Portal. They make their decision. I think Caleb Parlamy there says class starts January 6th. So you figure drop ad 3 or 4 days past. So you figure
then you've probably got, some leeway if you really need it.
A little bit, but you got to figure they'll be their decisions be made, but they very well could go another 2 to 3 weeks if that's what it gets down to. So, you know, the dead period starts tonight from the midnight till January the 1st. So nobody will be on visits. No kid. Now they'll still be getting recruited, but nobody's going to take a visit face to face. And, that's kind of where we are right now. It's just different, man. We're all learning. I don't think that's all that Georgia's recruiting. And I don't think that's all that, you know, they need a safety. They need two safeties. And as much as Georgia talks about wide receiver recruiting, and that is a big deal, I don't think people quite understand. They need safety. They need safeties that can start. Like, they need a safety that can go. And they went after the Poyser kid. I mean, I know they did. And they went after him hard. At the end of the day, he went to Miami. So Georgia's, I don't think Georgia's going to take just a body. They just don't do that. So that, to me, I think the number one priority would be an X wide receiver and then a safety. Like, they got to have a safety. So
because if you look at it, Malachi Starks almost certainly going to go to the NFL draft. 99.9% sure.
He's gone. No question.
Dan Jackson's gone. All right. Jackson's gone. You look at your other guys. You got Ja'Cory Thomas and Jonelle Aguero that I feel like, you know, we've heard enough and seen enough. The staff probably thinks those guys can play winning football for them, but that's it. Like, I mean, you've got star, two safety positions, two corner positions covered. The cornerbacks have a little bit of depth there, but as safety, you've got nothing. You've just got a bunch of incoming freshmen at that point. So this is not to say that Georgia's like in panic mode because they think Ja'Cory Thomas sucks or they think Jonelle Aguero is not the guy. They just don't have anything else other than a true freshman to play what I believe is probably harder to learn how to play than inside linebacker in terms of at least harder to earn trust because, you know, at those positions, you bust something and – you got London Humphreys for Vanderbilt, you know, and this is a fifth-year senior doing it, Tyke Smith. You got him breaking over the middle wide open for a touchdown, outrunning the entire defense because he's not supposed to be that open. So, you know, that's kind of what they're dealing with there. And then, I've thought from the jump, you know, obviously safety's a big deal, but, you know, you lose a Justin Rett, who I'm not trying to say is a world beater, but was a guy you were thinking coming into year three of the program, but it's time to get out. He's been passed by some other guys. All right, well, you know, you've got to kind of replenish what you've got going on there. And you know, I like Zion Branch. I think he's a good player. He reminds me of J.R. Reed a little bit, you know, just looking at his high school film. But, you know, is he a no-brainer starter for you? No. So you got to go get another one. And you got to keep those guys.
They need depth.
And listen, you need guys that have seen ball, that have practiced ball, that have heard a lot of this terminology, that know this coverage and that coverage. You're not going to have to teach them the basics like you are a lot of freshmen. And that's key in this situation. And it's why they brought in Jake Pope last year. And listen, that didn't work out. But, you know, it doesn't mean you can't bring in these, you know, more veteran guys to kind of put some room between you and having to make yourself real uncomfortable in terms of you got to rely on.
Yeah, they got to get a safety in, and I still think there's so many more players to go in. I mean, these playoff teams that lost. I mean, Tennessee lost a corner tonight. You know, it's going to start. You're going to start seeing some names trickle in over the next couple of days, and we'll see what it is. But Georgia definitely wants
Rusty, can you imagine being SMU right now? Or being SMU or, God, I'm drawing a blank on the other team, Indiana or some of those teams. And some of these, you had a sophomore that kind of had a real good year for you, maybe a breakout year. You gave him a chance to play. And can you imagine what his DMs have looked like for the past 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks and what they look like now and how many people are trying to talk him into getting in the portal? It's nuts. I mean, I know it's no different at places like, you know, Texas and everywhere else, like teams are still trying to talk those guys out of the portal. But, you know, these places like SMU and Indiana, these upstarts where, you know, they've been on TV a lot more maybe in these last November and December than they normally would be. I bet there's vultures circling around everywhere.
Oh, yeah. There's no question. I mean, it's everything you could imagine. And I've heard every coach say, you hear coaches that don't normally say anything like it's bad. People are in each other's, you know, coaches, I mean, they know what's going on, and it's a damn mess. But, you know, I tell people all the time, if you appreciate Kirby Smart and all he's done at Georgia, you appreciate him for what he's doing for Georgia and roster management. Is it perfect? No. But, I mean, they're in a lot better shape than a lot of people are, and Georgia's going to lose some players. Don't get me wrong, 100%. As soon as the season's over, they're going to have some guys get in the portal. I guarantee that. But they've done a damn good job of keeping the majority of their guys, pretty much, in-house and working out those deals to keep those players. It's a mess behind the scenes, man. And it is really a mess behind the scenes. Let's just say that. And I look at some of these teams and, you know, you look at teams that are adding 20 players. I just don't know, man. It's just hard to do it that way, man. We start doing 20, 25 players plus a freshman class. You know, you're talking about 40 something players, Jake, on a roster turnover. So I'm not saying it can't happen, but man, it is hard to do, in my opinion. And the goal at Georgia is not to make the playoffs. The goal is to win the national championship. I look at Texas Tech, and I don't know this for, this is just kind of the rumor. Texas Tech is outspending a lot of big boys. Texas Tech is not playing around. I think Texas Tech has the number one rated portal class, or it did this weekend. And they've signed like 18 or 19 players, and they are flat out beating teams for they're beating big boys on players. And I was told by somebody that I kind of trust on this, their goal is they want to make the playoff, and whatever else happens, they want to make the playoff with this money they're spending. And that's something to me, Jake, like, can you be a one hit wonder? Can you say, okay, we're going to go all in on these 25 portal kids, and we're going to beat the Georgia, and we're going to beat Alabama on players, and we're going to beat Florida on players, the ones that we really, really want. And can they make a run to at least get to the playoffs? Georgia's goal is not to get to the playoffs. Georgia's goal is to win the very last game of the season. So I'm interested in all that stuff and how it's going.
Yeah, you've got different teams. We saw it on National Signing Day. You've got teams that are coming at this from a different angle. Florida got so hot there at the end because it didn't have 24 commitments locked in and hadn't, you know, kind of figured out its NIL and you know, compensation for all of its guys. It hadn't done that. So it was working with a bigger pool, and it could be really aggressive there at the end and turn the worm on some guys. And it did. And you know, same with Florida State. It was trying to put together a class as opposed to kind of keep a class together. And so it just looks completely different when everybody's trying to get to the same place, or maybe even the place that doesn't have the momentum or isn't the perceived big-time winner in the moment is actually in better shape. And that's been the case for Georgia in a lot of these instances, man. Like, a lot of them, Georgia has not won the PR battle at this transfer portal right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or just not winning the PR battle. They're not getting anybody. Everybody else is getting these big classes and looking great, or a lot of other teams are. But Georgia typically is in better shape than everybody once the dust settles. And that's kind of where we come from covering this team, is it's not like we think everything the staff does is right or that Georgia's always going to be great. It's just kind of like, hey, man, I'm playing the odds here, and Kirby built this thing to where it's at. So I think he's got a good idea about what's important and what's not.
It's also too, so far right now, it's not near as strong a portal group as it was last year. Top end wise, you're talking about Walter Nolan, first rounder, Dylan Gabriel might be a first rounder, Evan Stewart went to Oregon, first rounder,
as good a player as Eric Singleton is, number one in the transfer portal as an 800 yard wide receiver, you know.
Yeah,
great player, but I don't think it quite stacks up to what we saw last year. I think that's a great point.
You look at Caleb Downs. I mean, there was some legit NFL first rounders last year in the portal. Right now, you got to look at Georgia's roster and say, who is that guy that can help Georgia? And I think wide receiver is the spot where there's some guys out there that can help Georgia. But there's not, to me, so far, what I would say the top 15 in last year's portal group is way more talented than the top 15 in this year so far. So we'll see how this thing unfolds as it goes. But right now it's not there. There's numbers in there. And you think about this, Jake, you didn't really know that if you were totally dependent on portal and you knew you had to go portal, you have to be kind of in a little bit of behind the scenes panic because you have all this money to spend and it's not as deep, but you have to get what's there. You can't mess around. You can't miss it. So, you know, it drives the price up, commodity. But, you know, you're not, just because you need a corner and there's only one or two that you think can play, you can't miss on one. So schools are overpaying. I do believe schools are overpaying for some of these kids, and you're going to see that. So we will see how this thing goes. That's why I said the other day, when some of these guys went in, that was, you know, you're looking for premium tackles. You know, when's a quarterback? You know, somebody told me, I saw on a podcast, don't know if it's true, but Jackson Arnold went for $2.5 million to Auburn. Goodness gracious, man. You know what I mean? Like, I think Jackson Arnold's a damn good player, but I don't know that I've seen $2.5 million worth out of him yet. You know what I mean? So we shall see what happens with all this stuff. But I do think these portal teams are having to spend a lot of money right now, and this portal class is not as deep yet.
Hey, as awesome as Nico is as a competitor and athlete and everything like that, they promised him $8 million before he ever took a snap. So I mean, we're in crazy territory here for sure. And Rusty, one more thing on the portal before we get going, I'll share this. Dane Key, Zion Branch, and Zachariah Branch. Listen, I would be surprised right now. I'd be a little bit surprised right now if these guys end up taking more visits. If it goes to January 1st and they take more visits, that's definitely not out of the question. I'm not saying that at all. But I think we'll probably know something some point during this dead period on these guys. And I don't know who's in better shape than Georgia right now to land those guys. I wouldn't pick them in a crystal ball type situation or a RPM or anything like that. But I don't know who's in better shape. I do like Georgia's chances for those guys. I think they're very much a big-time contender for all of them. I don't know if you have anything to say on that regard.
A lot of connection. You know what I mean? A lot of connection with Georgia staff. We talked about that. And, you know, they've had them on visits. And some of these kids go in, take one visit, and they're done. But I've said this on our Dogs HQ message board. I've said it on here, I think. And just the way it is, these agents are telling these kids to take multiple visits, hear out the opportunities, hear out the contracts, go see the school, make your decision. And that's kind of been the theme on all these guys. You know what I mean? You got to get them on campus. Like I said, this is not an official vehicle. You know, we talked about this, not official old school official visit. This is come in, go to practice, go to dinner, that type of thing, and go home.
And you want the kind of guys that respond to that. You really do want the kind of guys to respond to that. And we have had a great response to our guy, Andy Ludeke, over at MyPerfectFranchise.net. A lot of folks from our show, that our listeners have reached out to Andy, and he's helped him out, man. One of the biggest success stories that we have. Andy is a seasoned veteran franchise owner and entrepreneur, and using his thorough consultation and evaluation process, he can help you find your American dream. So if you're tired of working, you know, kind of the normal thing, if you want to take everything and put it in your own hands, if you want to bet on yourself, reach out to our man Andy Ludeke over at MyPerfectFranchise.net, and through his process, he can kind of help you figure out where you need to be, what you need to be doing, and where you need to be investing, and how to maybe get everything under your own roof and make your own way. So check out Andy over at MyPerfectFranchise.net, and we appreciate him a lot. Rusty, I want to end the show with some talk on this Georgia-Notre Dame matchup in the Sugar Bowl. And you hit on it earlier. Notre Dame's really good defensively. Notre Dame has got a very good run game offensively, big play run game. You know, notice that game against Indiana, which has a really good run defense in its own right, and they just smothered Indiana as a football team. They would just overwhelm them from the jump. Indiana got a little overwhelmed by the moment, some bad penalties there. But I looked at Notre Dame, and listen, anytime you play a football team, Rusty, and I'm interested to hear what you say about this, Notre Dame is a bully. All right, yeah. They want to see the blood coming out of your nose early in the fight, and that's going to make them feel better. I feel like Georgia is really tough on bullies because Georgia's won. And I wanted to see kind of that was my first note. I've got it written down right here. Is when you start talking about this matchup, Georgia's not the easiest matchup for a bully. You got me?
Yep, I got you. Sorry.
I didn't hear you. I was leaving it to you right there. I wasn't sure if I cut out.
Sorry, but it froze up for a second. What did you say again?
I said Georgia's not
the easiest. Not Georgia, a bully. Yes, yes. Other than Ole Miss, I haven't really seen anybody play like in the box and what I would consider a phone booth fight and have a lot of success against Georgia. I think just one of those days, man. And I said that they got their ass kicked in Ole Miss and it happened. But I think Georgia's, you look at Ernest Green playing in that game and how beat up he was and some of the things they tried to do. And, you know, Ole Miss deserved to be the player.
Georgia's offensive lineup up front, they didn't really push Georgia around defensively. They didn't run the ball or anything like that. They threw the ball around, and then they just turned the dogs loose on that offensive line that was played its worst game of the season.
They got a freshman who's a freshman All-American, and I got a chance to see him. Anthony Knapp, kid from Roswell High School.
Okay.
And he's an offensive tackle, and he starts for Notre Dame. This is a bad dude. I'm telling you now, they highlighted him a couple of times last night. I saw him in high school, and I thought he was a good player. I thought he needed to gain some weight, but the Friday night, man, he played really good. And so, but a true freshman, going against some of these guys, Ty Ingram Dawkins, and we feel like Christian Miller. Those guys are going to play. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see, it's just one of those games that I really like the matchup for Georgia. Now, Georgia could choke this thing out. I mean,
is how you play game.
I go
into all of these and I look and I say, all right, if Georgia goes and they play really well and you say, measure that how you want, B+, A-, A+, whatever. Georgia goes in there and it plays good football, good sound football. It doesn't beat itself. It doesn't make mistakes. It runs the ball like it's capable of running, get third down situations, all that stuff. I don't think there's a whole lot Notre Dame can do about it. But it's Georgia. It's this version of this Georgia team. And through portions of games, it kind of sleepwalks through some stuff. And I guess the hope is right now that you feel like this Georgia team is, all right, listen, your back's against the wall from the opening kickoff now. Mm-hmm. There's nothing, there's no next week, there's no way to fix this later. You got to get it going right now. And the hope is, I think, that this team responds to that part of it.
You know what this game is, and people aren't going to want to hear this, and I'm going to tell you right now, I've seen it enough. If Georgia can hold them defensively, Kirby Smart's going to choke this clock out. And he is going to absolutely put the damn clock in a suffocation chokehold. He will run the football, and they will play deep. If they don't feel like Notre Dame can get after them, if they were to get up 17-7, that dude will run that clock out of that game because I've seen him do it before. You think about it, you got a freshman, you got a first-time starter at quarterback. You got maybe two more games after that. You've less plays, less injuries. You want to run the football. But if Georgia can clamp down Notre Dame, it might be one of those 17-6 type deals. I've seen this happen a million times with Kirby Smart. So get your mind right about the play calling and all those different things that you want to complain about. But if they get out on Notre Dame and they feel like they can shut them down, they're going to lock it down. They are going to lock it down, and that's just the way he does it. And that dude's won more football games than anybody's ever coached at this school. So get your minds right for that. I can assure you they will choke that clock out if he gets ahead like that and feels like that they're not a team that is going to be explosive on them. I haven't seen it yet for me with Notre Dame, and I'm going to dig more. But I haven't seen that guy offensively that you go, oh, dude, that guy's going to be – their running back's a freak now. Yeah, their running back, Jeremiah Love. Georgia recruited him. Georgia, Dale McGee recruited him hard. That's a guy that can scare you. But As far as out on the edge, wide receivers and those types of things, I haven't seen a guy that you go, that guy's going to be a problem.
Yeah, they had one pass play in that game north of 12 yards, and that was a 40-yarder they hit towards the end. The Faison kid hadn't been a big factor for them all year long and was. They played so much man coverage against Indiana, just got in their face and covered them tight, and Indiana couldn't get off of anything, didn't rub route, didn't do anything. We'll have a breakdown on that kind of later on. May look at it in Dogs HQ Plus later this week. We will have Dogs HQ Plus later this week. We will have our normal Thursday show later this week as well, because it's the day after Christmas. We'll just, you know, play with our Christmas toys and stuff like that on the show or something like that. Me and Palmer will on Thursday. And Saturday, Palmer and I will be on our way to New Orleans. That's Friday and Saturday, Rusty, is when the coordinators speak to media. So we'll get to hear from Mike Bobo and Glenn Schumann. And I don't know if we'll also get to hear from Todd Hartley and T. Rob and those guys, two assistant coaches. But we'll have all that going on. Team gets into New Orleans on the 29th. And then
I love that.
It's game
week. That's my favorite day. You get to see both teams walk in and
you
get to see what both teams look like. I told you.
A dancer and everything else. It'll be a lot of fun.
I told you when TCU walked in, oh boy, that don't look like what's about to walk through the room. I said, what I'd say, that quarterback had to be Johnny Manziel if they were going to win that game, and he wouldn't. But I expect Notre Dame's going to look the part. No hesitation on my. They are going to look the part. They'll be big all around the board, and interested in seeing those guys in person.
And two matchups, 44 years apart. 44 years apart, Georgia and Notre Dame in the Sugar Bowl. It's going to be fun to cover. We'll have it all for you at Dogs HQ. Come on over. We'll see you.